Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to draw your attention to the beginning of verse 14 and all of verse 15. Beginning of verse 14 and all of verse 15. Hear now the word of God. Stand, therefore, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and lives by the Holy Spirit. In these words, we come to ponder yet another piece in the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God that's mentioned in verse 11 and verse 13. And the whole armor of God is provided for us as God's people in our struggle and fight against the devil and his demons. Against the devil, the principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, as it's referred to in verse 12. The Apostle Paul, as we have said, is using a figure, an illustration, to give us a picture of theological truths. And that figure is primarily the armor that's used by a Roman soldier. We know in the Old Testament that God is the mighty warrior, presented with different armor. But the primary figure here is the armor used by a Roman soldier. And as we come next here to the next piece of armor, we must remember not to over-literalize or press the illustration or figure too far. For when we think of analogies, there is likeness and there is similarity, but not complete identity or sameness when you deal with a figure or a picture. The third piece of armor, which, as we read, has reference to the feet, it reminds us again that the entire personality, our entire being and person, is engaged in this spiritual Christian struggle and warfare with the devil and his demons, that there is no part of our being that must be neglected. Even the feet we must take consideration for. Nothing is more important in the Christian life than balance, a fact of which our enemy is well aware. Our enemy wants to get us off balance, where we only protect part of our being. The very figure and analogy that the apostle uses here reminds us of the wholeness of our spiritual struggle, and that every part of us as Christians is engaged in this conflict. We must protect ourselves then at every single point of our Christian lives. Also, by way of reminder, we have noted that the first three pieces of armor are parts that are fixed to the body. They're fixed on the body by special fastening. We noticed that this was so in the case of the belt of truth in verse 14. A belt is something that you fix on. You clamp it onto your body as a girdle or a belt and then cinch it up tight around your waist. The same is also true of the breastplate of righteousness in verse 14. You fix it on to your torso, to your breast and chest. The breastplate is fastened tight to the chest or torso. And the same is also true about the sandals that we shod or cover our feet with in verse 15 of our text today. The sandals are fastened or tied on to our feet. And even when the Christian soldier is resting, each of these three pieces of armor are tied on or fastened to the Christian. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the sandals of the gospel of peace. They're permanently fixed on to us as Christians, and it's stressed by the word having, as we have said. Look at verse 14 and 15. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having is mentioned three times with the first three pieces of armor. They are fixed on, and they continue to remain fixed on, and that is signified by the aorist tense of the Greek word for having. It's on and continues to be remaining on, as we have said. Please follow along now with today's sermon using the outline that's in the bulletin. Number one, the Roman soldiers' sandals. The Roman soldiers' sandals. Verse 15, having shod or covered your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The best way to understand the meaning of these words is to start with the actual analogy that the Apostle Paul is using. And as we said, he's primarily thinking about the armor used by a Roman soldier. The provision made for the Roman soldier's feet was a certain type of sandal. Now, Corinne liked to wear sandals, as we know. Now, these are special sandals. He fastened them on tight to his feet, these sandals. The sandals were not a boot, but they were firm, they were tough, they were stout, and they essentially consisted of a sole with straps which held them firmly to the foot. So the sole was on the bottom of the foot. And still more important was the fact that this sandal, interestingly, had hobnails. You can think of it as metal studs underneath. They were studded sandals. The sandal provided the Roman soldier with firmness to hold onto the ground, to prevent slipping and sliding and falling. His sandals allowed him to stand firm in battle, to stand firm in battle. Now, as many of you know, I once worked as a forester in the 1990s, and I worked twice up in Alaska. In southeast Alaska, it's a temperate rainforest. It's a cold rainforest. Everything's wet, but very mountainous. And we had to wear rubber boots because it was so wet, but the rubber boots were studded. They had metal studs on the bottom for firmness of footing, to prevent slipping and sliding. And they worked really well. You could walk up logs that you never dreamed of, and they were all wet at an angle and steep. For the Roman soldier, though, there was another reason for providing him with sandals made of stout, strong material that were studded. A very familiar device in warfare at that time that enemies used was they would place sharp spikes in the ground. And they would bury the sharp spikes in the ground with the sharp points just barely sticking out of the ground. So they were almost invisible. So when an enemy soldier came running up for the attack, if he had no sandals on, the spikes, those metal sharp spikes, would come up and pierce the soles of his feet and cause instant pain and bleeding and possibly infection over time in his feet. It was absolutely important to have one's feet protected against these hidden spikes. So the sandals for the Roman soldier allowed the Roman soldier to have firm footing, to stand fast and firm, to prevent sliding and slipping, but also provided protection against the enemy's devices, where they would bury these sharp spikes in the ground. Now, a third reason for providing these sandals was mobility. Mobility. The ability to easily move quickly, even on rough terrain. Now, nothing is more important in the army than mobility. And the Romans were interested in this aspect of warfare. And the man who first saw the importance of mobility, of quick movement by his troops, in the military sense, was Alexander the Great, who died in 323 BC. He was one of the great captains of armies of war that the world has ever seen. And he had his greatest successes by moving his armies quickly. He could unexpectedly startle the enemy by doing a wide flank with his troops quickly. So he provided his soldiers with the right kind of footwear. They had to have the right equipment, right? They had to be prepared and readied with the right equipment. And the Romans and others had, by the time that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, the Romans and others had copied Alexander the Great by providing their troops, their soldiers, with sandals to shod their feet with that were firm, studded, and could allow quick mobility. Quick mobility. So the three things we see, they provide a firmness to stand firm, to prevent slipping and sliding. They provide protection against the enemy's devices, and also mobility, to be able to move quickly on rough terrain. Point two, stand firm. Stand firm. Stand, therefore, as we have seen, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Stand, therefore. As Christians studying our text today, we're interested in the spiritual application of this analogy, of this figure, of the sandal on a Roman soldier. As we think about the spiritual application of it to our lives, the term preparation in verse 15, preparation there is the key to understanding its spiritual meaning. And there's two main interpretations of the word preparation, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's two main interpretations. Both can claim up to a point that they're based upon the original basic meaning of the term, the Greek term that Paul uses here. The first interpretation is that it simply conveys the notion of firmness, that the preparation of the gospel of peace means the firmness which is given to us by the gospel of peace, that our Christian life receives firm footing with the gospel of peace, with the good news of Jesus Christ. The second main interpretation, tied to that Greek word for preparation, is that it means readiness. Readiness. It is the equipment that makes us prepared for what lies ahead. It is the equipment that allows us to be prepared for what lies ahead in our spiritual battles. Stand, therefore, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So I agree with Martin Lloyd-Jones that the best way to understand what the word preparation means is equipment. Equipment, which includes both the idea of preparedness and also the element of stability and firmness. Now I ask you, why are we told to have our feet shod or covered with the preparedness, the readiness, the equipment of the gospel of peace? Why? There are some scholars who say that we should be ready to evangelize, to go and preach the gospel. And they refer to such texts as Romans chapter 10, verse 15, and Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. Think of this, where it says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." There's certainly truth to that. And yet in our text, we must remember that the Apostle Paul is dealing here with one thing only, namely our fight and conflict with the devil and his demons. He is not thinking here of evangelizing. Rather, he's picturing a Christian who's being attacked day and night by the devil and all his wicked powers, and warning the Christian that if he's not filled with the power of God's might, if he has not put on the whole armor of God, he will be defeated. We must shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, because we're in a fight for our lives. And it is primarily a defensive warfare against the devil and his demons. We must never interpret a word or phrase without being sure that the interpretation fits the context. Martin Lloyd-Jones says it's one danger of a concordance, where you can just look and say, oh, the word's here and it's also over here, and therefore the same meaning applies. Not necessarily. We must always look to context. Most heresies and falsehoods have arisen because men have lifted a word or phrase entirely out of its context. Since then, the Apostle Paul is speaking about our fight against the devil and his demons, our interpretation of his words must include the following principles. The first is firmness, steadfastness, a sense of assurance. If you are engaged in a mortal conflict with a crafty, powerful, wicked enemy, which he has described for us in our text, we are in a spiritual mortal battle against a crafty, wily, powerful, wicked enemy, the devil and his demons. We must guard ourselves against falling and slipping and sliding. We must make sure that our feet are well shod, that they're well covered with a stout, strong material. That is important in all kinds of physical conflict, but it's even more important in the spiritual realm. This means that you must resolve to adhere to the gospel of Christ, no matter what kind of enemy is arrayed against you. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this: you must not rush into the Christian life and continue in it half-heartedly, half in, half out, desiring benefits but objecting to duties, wanting privileges and benefits but rejecting responsibilities. In other words, the gospel has both benefits and duties, both privileges and responsibilities. Don't rush out there with just bare feet, but fix onto your feet the sandals with the studs. Pay great attention to the gospel of peace, the gospel of Christ. Know the gospel for firmness in this spiritual battle. The Apostle Paul teaches the same truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Stand fast in the faith. The faith. The core truths of Christianity, the gospel. Stand fast in it. Stand firm in it. Be steadfast. Sadly, in our culture today, I look around and I see many people whose feet are not shod or covered with the gospel of peace. There are some who perhaps know a couple of simple little things about the gospel or Jesus. But I see many people slipping and sliding in their Christian life. Many are not standing firm and strong in the gospel truths. Many do not know what to believe about the gospel of Christ. They do not hold firm to it, come what may in life. It is because they have not shod or covered their feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace that they are slipping and sliding, not knowing what they really believe, and the devil and his demons are rejoicing the whole way. Do you know what you believe about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? Is there anything for which you are prepared to stand firm on? Do you really believe that the Bible is the written Word of God? That is, it is infallible. It is without error. It is inerrant. that all the words in the Bible are inspired of God, that they are truth and without error. That is what is meant by fixing the sandals on your feet. Are you willing to stand for Jesus as the eternal Son of God? For His virgin birth, for His miracles, for His bodily resurrection? Are you willing to stand for the doctrines of grace? For man's total depravity and sin? For God's unconditional election? Are you willing to stand for a substitutionary, sacrificial, atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ for His people? Are you willing to stand for God's irresistible grace for the perseverance of the saints? Are you willing to stand for the five solas? For salvation by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, on the authority of Scripture alone? Do you know where you stand? Do you know your position? How can you fight the spiritual enemy if you do not know your own position on these issues? Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, "I sometimes feel that the art of warfare should be made compulsory reading, that we should read about the great commanders of armies such as Alexander, Cromwell, Napoleon, and others. They chose their place and position always in warfare. They knew where they were going to stand, and we must not allow the enemy to decide." So take up your position and say, "I stand here." Stand with the great Protestant reformer Martin Luther, who was not troubled by the fact that he had 12 centuries of Roman Catholicism and tradition against him. He said, "Here I stand, and I can do no other." And we too have to learn to stand. We have to know what we believe about the person and work of Christ, about the central truths of the gospel, and stand for it come what may. Our next application of this picture, this figure, of having shod or covered our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace has reference to the whole question of mobility, which is another big element in the interpretation of preparedness or preparation or equipment. Point three, be mobile. Be mobile, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, mobility refers to the ability to move quickly, freely, and easily. And as we have said, studded sandals fixed on the feet enabled the soldiers to be mobile, to quickly move and outflank their enemy in time of war. And as we said, the whole notion of mobility in warfare, Alexander the Great mastered. It was then practiced by the Roman generals at the time that the Apostle Paul lived, as we said. Oliver Cromwell used it greatly in his battles. Stonewall Jackson was indispensable to Robert E. Lee during the U.S. Civil War. With mobility, moving his troops quickly. We have to watch our spiritual enemy, knowing the times he typically attacks and how he typically attacks. And we have discussed that in a previous sermon. The devil attacks when the Christian is newly converted, afflicted, achieved some notable success, idle, isolated from other Christians, and when dying. And the devil attacks as a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8 could be as a friend, giving friendly advice, like to Eve in Genesis 3:5, or as an angel of light, trying to share truth. 2 Corinthians 11:14. But we not only have to watch our spiritual enemy, as to when he attacks and how. We also have to be ready to counter his every move and to meet him where he is, not where we think he should be. It's spiritual warfare. The notion of readiness, of watchfulness, of mobility is inherent here in the image and picture that the Apostle Paul uses. Of readiness, of watchfulness, of mobility. And requires us to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Another way of saying it is that it points to tactics. Mobility is essential in warfare tactics. As we said, as Christians studying this text, we are interested in the spiritual application to our spiritual battles today. You and I must not only stand firm in the gospel, but we must be mobile. We must not be slow or drag our feet. We must not be sleepy, sluggish Christians. What do I mean? Well, ask the average person on the street why he does not come to a place of worship. Ask him why he's not a Christian. Many times the answer will be that he'll say, everything is so dull and boring. Especially compared to the enthusiasm of watching a sporting event like soccer or football. Look at how people are with sports and entertainment in our day and age. They want to be there on time. They want the best seats. And they want the sport to go on and on. And if the sporting event goes into overtime, it's all the more exciting. Now contrast that. Contrast that with Christian people who seem to think they're doing something special by going to a place of worship on a Sunday morning. Sadly, many are not concerned if they're late. Sadly, if they feel like sleeping in, perhaps they'll skip Sunday school and merely show up at the worship service. And if the worship service goes into overtime, they're very irritated. How dare the preacher spend extra time teaching from God's Word? So I ask you, do you enjoy coming to study God's Word? Are you in awe, pondering the greatness of God? Are you in wonder and amazement how God saves sinners from his wrath and hell in Christ alone? If you are a true, genuine Christian, the gospel of peace, the good news of Christ, is not boring. In the cross, the glory of God's justice, God's grace and God's love are clearly seen. Is it amazing to you? Let every one of us examine ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5, to see whether we are of the faith. Cry out to God that he would move in your heart to cause you to seek his face. To treasure him above every earthly thing, to live for God's glory in all things. Sadly, many of us simply follow a routine in a thoughtless, unintelligent manner. Such a Christian is already defeated and useless in battle. Lifeless routines are examples of being at ease in Zion, while a mighty battle rages on. Christians today too much resemble David in Saul's armor, if you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You remember the story from 1 Samuel chapter 17 where David, the little shepherd boy, confronts Goliath. Goliath there in all his armor, this huge soldier who's killed many a person, taunting God and the Israelites. But David shows up and he's ready to take on Goliath for the glory of God. But Saul, King Saul and his company, not having shod their feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, were not thinking about the need for mobility in battle. You remember in the story, they clothed David with Saul's heavy armor. And here's David, a small shepherd boy. Saul believed the only way in which anyone could fight Goliath was in his traditional heavy armor. But David realized at once it wouldn't work. David needed mobility. He needed to shod his feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. David wanted to be able to move quickly and respond and react to every move of his enemy, Goliath. Mobility is crucial in warfare. Fundamentally, the spiritual battle we face is always the same. Think about this. Our spiritual enemy is always the same. No temptation has overcome you but such as is common to man. In every age and generation, from the first century to the 21st century, the battle is against the devil and his demons, always. Therefore, we need the same essential strategy at all times and all places. We must have firmness and mobility in the gospel of peace. The trouble at times is either we're either too firm, so firm and routine and into forms that we are useless, or else we get so excited and emotional that we break rank and there's no cohesion, no discipline. In both cases, the enemy is triumphant. The key for you and I is to remain balanced with both firmness and mobility in the gospel of peace. Think about Ephesians itself and the structure of Ephesians. The gospel brings a balanced, worthy walk in our Christian lives. Ephesians 4:1. We must walk worthy of the calling with which we are called. Must be balanced. Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 is all on God's great and glorious plan of salvation. The central truths of the gospel of peace are firmness. And then we must live out that gospel in our new lives in Christ, as revealed primarily in Ephesians chapters 4 through 6. Our mobility. The gospel of peace provides us both firmness and mobility. And that gives us protection from our enemy. Point 4, the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our preparedness is produced by the gospel of peace. Because without this peace, we can do nothing. Any uncertainty in the Christian tends to failure and disaster. The gospel of peace means three things. First, peace with God. Second, peace within us. And third, peace with others. First, peace with God. Peace with God. This always makes one ready for spiritual battle. Think about it. If I am in any doubt about my salvation, I will not be able to fight the enemy. I will then spend the whole of my time struggling with myself. Think about a soldier. The soldier has to be clear about certain things. And the Christian must be clear about his relationship with God to be a good soldier. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Combine that with Romans chapter 5, 1 and 2. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope for the glory of God." It is only as we are clear about the fundamental fact that our sins are forgiven in Christ and that Christ has reconciled us to God. We're no longer at enmity. We are at peace with God in Christ. It's only when we're clear on that fundamental fact that God can do his gracious work of sanctification in us. Think of that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." As God does that to us, as he sanctifies us, as he forms Christ within us, we are able to fight the enemy. And it is as the God of peace that God accomplishes his work. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21 says this, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Peace with God. If you do not have that, you cannot be a soldier of the living God. Peace with God is found in Christ alone. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Trust in him alone for the forgiveness of your sins. It is necessary to be a soldier in the army of the living God, to be both firm and mobile. But you must also have peace within. You must also have peace within yourself. "I must know in my heart that God works all things after the counsel of his will." Ephesians 1:11. That though the wrong seems off so strong, yet God is the ruler yet. "I must know that God works all things after the counsel of his will, that all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose." Romans 8:28. We must be anxious then for nothing. We must worry about nothing. Philippians 4:6. Think about that. If you're anxious or worried as a soldier in God's army, worried about what's happening at home, to speak in a soldier's term, you are a poor soldier. You have to concentrate entirely on the fight with the enemy to be a good soldier. Philippians 4:6 and 7, you read the whole thing there. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The gospel of Christ enables us to be peaceable people, gentle, long-suffering, and patient. We must not be worried, anxious Christians who are troubled and frantic. Peace within and peace with God are essential in our spiritual battle with the devil and his demons. And lastly, peace with others. Peace with others. If the members of the army of the living God are fighting one another, what hope have we of fighting the enemy? For it's not just an individual battle, but a corporate battle. We're all in it together. Think of Mark chapter 3, verse 25. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. That is why the Apostle Paul urged us to have a worthy walk. Think of Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Hear it again. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In the bond of peace. He went on in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. That we would keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace with God, peace within, and peace with one another. This is the way to fight the enemy. Know what you believe about the gospel. The central core truths of the gospel. The doctrines of grace. The sola fides of the Protestant Reformation. Know what you believe about the Bible. About the character and work of Christ. Stand firm in the gospel of peace, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And be mobile. Be ever watchful and vigilant. For when and how our enemy attacks. This is the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be certain in Christ that you have peace with God, peace in your own heart, and peace with one another. And in Christ, you will be both firm and mobile in our spiritual battle. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move, that you would move among us, that you would convict of sin where needed, that you would encourage where needed, that you would rebuke where needed, and that you would teach and train in righteousness. Lord, I pray that every one of us would be in awe and wonder of the gospel, that we would know what we believe about the central truths and doctrines and teachings of the gospel of Christ, the gospel of peace, that they would be fixed on us, that we would stand firm in them against the enemy, the devil and his demons. And I pray that we would be mobile, that we would meet the enemy where he is, not where we wish he would be. And may we rest in the gospel of peace. Lord, I pray in your grace that each one here has peace with you, is resting in Christ alone for the forgiveness of his or her sins. If there is one here who is not, I pray that your Spirit would move. Give the gift of faith and repentance. Turn that person from idolatry to you, to serve you and live for you, I pray, and to rest in Jesus alone, to be right with you, to be justified before your court in heaven. And grant each one of us, Father, peace within ourselves. Pastor Ron's been going through 1 John with 16 tests of assurance of salvation to really know that our faith is genuine and real. Pray that every one of us would examine ourselves and test ourselves. We would have peace within. Give us that gift, I pray. And peace with one another. We are in this together, this spiritual warfare. Help us to be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another as you have forgiven us, out of grace, where it's undeserved in Christ alone. You who have forgiven us so much, help us to forgive one another when against us it's so little. Only with Christ in us can we do it. Strengthen us, I pray, to be strong, to stand firm in the Lord, in the gospel of peace, and to be mobile. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.